Now entering Nerdist.com.
I just introduced... Hey, there's Matt Myra. There's Jonah Ray. Oh. You're nice. You were just rocking out to the tunes of Michael Jackson. I can't believe he's gone.
Still bummed about it?
Yeah. I'm still not over it yet.
That video had George Wendt and Macaulay Culkin.
And they made a big deal about the morphing. Remember that?
A lot of morphing.
Well, that was really before morphing was freely available on our smartphone devices that we didn't have
yet.
Exactly. That was a big deal back then.
The dangerous app.
That was before Fat Booth.
The bad app, which would just trick you out in black with little hooks.
Yeah, just put white in the background.
Yeah, all over your body. Yeah, the black and white was a big video.
Yeah, it premiered on Fox. Remember that time? Music videos would premiere, like I remember Summertime by Fresh Prince premiered after an episode of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Were you just kicking back and unwinding?
summer. What else? All those Michael Jackson videos. And then When the World Was Wowed by the Bartman.
Yep. Yeah. Do it if you can.
Yeah. There's that one part of the song where he's like, and so can I.
Yeah.
I never understood that.
Remember like staying up to watch the Prodigy video just to see a tit? Like I do.
Staying up? Mitchell. Wait, for
was, like
what, 120
minutes? Aired, like once at midnight or something like that. Oh. The full video without the blur.
On 120 minutes?
Yeah,
or?
I think so.
Huh. Which Prodigy Nation song was it? Was it Firestarter?
No, it was...
You're a Firestarter!
It was Smack...
Twisted Firestarter!
Was it Duhast?
I'm a Firestarter! There's a guy that just had a horrible head injury.
Who's a Firestarter?
He just learned that word.
That just sounds...
He's a Firestarter!
It sounds like Fred Schneider.
We're a Firestarter! If you see a fire started and the side of the road... The
tin roof!
On fire! Let's be Firestarters! He's a Firestarter! Check out Firestarting! It's a fun song to listen to while watching Drew Barrymore in Firestarter when she explodes.
It's the worst evening I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah. But
hey, let's put on Firestarter and watch Firestarter.
we're just gonna put it on a loop so it can fill out the whole movie.
It syncs up coincidentally every few minutes.
Charlie, look in my eyes. You're a Firestarter.
Then a cash register noise happens when it turns color.
Mommy, you're a Firestarter. Yeah.
Also, listen to Cat Stevens while watching Cat's Eye. It's another one you should try. Yusef Islam. Sorry, I meant Yusef Islam.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I got confused for a second.
I didn't know who you were talking about until you said that.
Yeah.
Well, that's funny because I listen to Wild World while watching Wild Wild West.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, you.
That's something I like to
do.
You're
the one that saw that?
Yep, I did. I know a giant steampunk spider.
That's before steampunk was a thing.
How are you guys doing this week?
Doing all right.
Good.
Yeah, I'm feeling good. How's your back?
Not great, but I'm
Poor
working
Matthew.
Through it.
He's got a little...
I brought a pillow from my couch.
Got a little help back here. Oh. No, you were supposed to laugh at his pain.
Please.
That's what I do.
Matt. No, shut up. Pity pussy.
Pity pussy. The best kind of pussy.
I feel bad for your back. Blah.
What kind of blowjobs are you getting?
Oh, I get blowjobs from mermaids, don't you guys?
Blah.
Don't look at my fin. Blah. Like, just stay in the water. I only need the top part of you.
Nice comb.
Yeah. And then if I want to see your vagina, I have to dry her off so she gets legs.
Yeah.
Is that
Splash reference. You said, oh, like that's a thing that happens.
Yeah.
Why do you make her dry her fin to get her legs? So much work.
Reference another Tom Hanks movie from the 80s and see if it gets the same reaction.
Bachelor Party.
Oh.
Oh. He tried to fuck her with the egg beater. Whoa, what happened?
What was
the
that?
Ghost of Tom Hanks?
He's not dead.
Yeah, I know. That's what's crazy about it.
He just has a ghost that lives in this dimension.
Yeah.
It's the ghost of Tom Hanks' character from AIDS, the AIDS movie there.
Oh, good. Don't bum anyone out by calling it the AIDS movie.
Yeah.
That's what I thought it was.
I would have said The Burbs.
I would have said The Burbs.
The Ghost of The Burbs.
Yeah,
or Joe versus a Volcano.
That was about AIDS, too, right?
Yeah, that was about AIDS, too.
I might have it wrong.
Yeah, no, you're thinking of Joe versus the AIDS Kano.
AIDS Kano. AIDS Kano! Sorry.
AIDS Chalet will take you to the limit. I might.
Wow.
I might cut out AIDS Chalet.
Are you going to cut out AIDS Chalet?
I might cut out AIDS Chalet. I don't want it to bum people out.
Why should it bum people out?
What?
AIDS, you can live with AIDS. It's great now.
Don't say it's great now.
I just know I'm going to have to cut this out, so I'll just say whatever I fucking feel like.
This is definitely not great now.
No. Elizabeth Taylor fixed it, right? And then she died?
Yes.
Keep on going, Matt. Keep on going. Move forward.
Okay, we just need a clean edit point. All right, so then I was...
No, The Burbs. I love The Burbs. The Burbs is great.
The Burbs is great.
Good movie. Good movie. It's going to be a good year.
Guys, I am excited because tonight... what? Bad transition?
No, it was great.
Oh, good. Thank
you. One of your all-time best, Bixie.
Segway! I'm excited because tonight is Aussie night.
Do we have a lot in the crowd?
Do we have a lot of them?
No, I guess not.
A lot of them.
Do we have a lot in the crowd?
There are not a lot of Australians in the world. There are only about 20.
That continent is huge.
But they have
most of it's uninhabitable.
Oh.
There's 20-ish million Aussies in the world. And which is weird because, and I'm not making a joke. I think they're responsible for 1/3 of the planet's alcohol consumption.
And once we're warriors, a friend.
Yes.
And the Subaru Outback.
I love the Subaru
Outback.
As far
as I know.
Yeah, I love the Subaru Outback.
It's a good car.
Yeah.
I'm sure they don't mind that a Japanese company has just co-opted the idea of their culture.
Or an American steakhouse.
Right. At all. Oh, come on. Bloomin' Onion?
Bloomin' Onion.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome to the stage your first Aussie of the night, Mr. Rove McManus! The photo op. We got the photo op.
The only thing we were missing in that was a large novelty check. In that photo that no one saw on this podcast.
Yes, exactly.
It was for the exclusive few in the room.
How about this? It was great when we did that gag with the novelty check. Because no one's not going to know. They're listening.
Damn it.
Rove McManus.
Correct. Good.
Yes.
Yes, good. First question done.
Done.
We met doing the Chelsea Lately program.
Yes, we did.
Which was a lot of fun.
We only did it... Once or twice.
Yeah.
I forget because you watch and then you go, I like that person, that Chris guy's funny. And then when I meet you for the first time, there's this weird thing of feeling like I know you when I don't. But all those days spent peering into your bathroom window, and you fogging the glass.
You still don't know me. it was really fun to do Chelsea with you, and I know that. You had a very incredibly successful show in Australia for years that...
It makes people squeak.
Yes. Which I think it was just called Rove.
It was. It just... note to the Jay Lenos and Conan O'Briens of the world, if you name the show after you, they can't get rid of you. I learned that from all the greats like Seinfeld and Alf.
Yes.
Alf.
Conan figured it out.
That's true.
It's
he
now
has
called
now.
Conan.
But what's interesting is that when Ellen's...
A barbarian could take over that show.
They really could.
Just saying.
And they did do a reboot of Conan the Barbarian, too.
That would be a bloody mess.
Yes, they did. He's on his way, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's on his way here. I looked out on the
horizon. I hear the horse.
But there
he comes.
When they talk about the big summer blockbuster movies that are coming, and Conan's just not on my radar.
I see photos
of the torso and things.
Yeah.
But I just...
You don't remember?
Now, okay, here we go.
Wait. What? Guys, if we want a good edit point, say something about a torso. Oh,
okay.
I jerked
off the torso.
Did we get the great baby dance?
That's not what I meant to do.
No one wants that Conan the Barbarian movie, right? Back to you.
If you heard a weird ripple in time... Our sound equipment dropped out for just one
second.
But Matthew...
Or is it really the Conan Conspiracist?
It is.
Which is a vocal warm-up for me.
You did
Conan
see him coming.
Conspiracist. Conan Conspiracist.
Conan think they're more here than meets the eye.
It's not Conan the caveman.
What? Conan.
It's not.
There
whole.
Are many Conan in world. Me upset for what Conan the Barbarian do to Conan the caveman brand.
It's a fine line between caveman and barbarian and bizarro world.
It is.
By the sounds of things.
What makes a good barbarian?
Apparently, very little clothes.
Yep, that's
huge,
right.
Huge fucking sword. Huge,
big sword.
Yeah, yeah.
You just have to. You just basically have to cover up the dong and put on a pair of Ugg boots.
I knew a kid in high school that ordered the Conan the Barbarian sword, like, and it was like heavy.
What made it the Conan sword?
I don't. It was exactly like it or something,
replica?
As heavy. And then you would pull out the hilt had a dagger in it.
I wish that was the selling point.
It was
when
like
see, when you see it in the magazine, it's exactly like it or something.
Or something.
There's a big splash on the page.
So this That's is exactly like it. Sure.
Yes. If it helps.
If it helps.
They still sell swords on the Home Shopping Network.
What?
Like, yeah, no. Like, has anybody seen that? Like, I'm not the only one, right? Yes, you're clapping. Thank you.
How do they model the swords?
They,
Is it like someone just drapes it across
their
arm?
They'll cut paper. They'll literally cut paper with the sword and say, nothing dulls a blade faster than paper.
Magic bullet. I've got a magic bullet. Want to bet?
Jim, I could take off your head with one swipe because there can be only one.
That's right, Tina.
This package comes with 14 swords and 85 daggers.
Oh my God.
And literally, that is what they will do.
$80. What? That's a good deal.
Right?
Or something.
$80
or something like it.
Warning, swords may not resemble these swords.
Yeah. It's a good murder kit.
Yeah. Oh, that's
but
all about branding.
Who do you know who owns a sword and actually does anything with it? I had a friend who had a sword, and it just ended up on the wall, just
literally.
Left there. Yeah. That was it.
Until the day he needs it.
That's
zombie
true.
Apocalypse. Yeah,
that's a good way.
And who'll be laughing then?
Yes.
Still us.
Still us. My best friend Mike Furman got us. I remember Mike Berman got a sword. He went to a Medieval Times for his birthday.
Of course he did.
When he turned like, 30 or 25 or whatever, he went to Medieval Times.
Those are two different stories.
When he was... When he turned 60 or 17, I'm not sure.
I remember.
And so he was really drunk, and he bought this broadsword, and he came home and just decided to hack the antenna of his car off. He just went... Done with you! And then, have at you! And then he just chopped off the antenna on his car. When cars still had
now
radio
antennas. Now, in Australia, there is ye olde custom where if you snap off your car antenna, you replace it with like an old sort of dry cleaner's kind of coat hanger that you fashion into the shape of our fair continent. It's a real skill. I know very few people that can do it. And apparently it still allows you to get great reception on your car stereo.
Really?
So you shove it in the whatever's left of the little antenna hole. And then, yeah, some people just put an upside down coat hanger. Yeah.
You know, that's why they call Australia coat hanger country.
Yeah,
that's why. Right.
It's on the number plates. Careful, mate, you're entering coat hanger country.
There's a picture of an emu with a coat hanger in its claw. It's like hanging a jacket, waistcoat. For the emu. Did the purist actually put Tasmania down at the bottom?
No one cares about Tasmania. When you consider the entire continent of Australia was initially. It was a jail. It was a convict. Like, if you stole a loaf of bread in England, you were sent to Australia. That was their jail. They just
right.
Go live in the tropics. Aha! You idiot.
We'll show you.
And then 200 years later, they have a tan.
Yeah.
But then once Australia became a proper nation itself, we just went, well, we've got to put our convicts somewhere. And so they went to Tasmania.
Oh,
wow.
True story. There you go. History lesson.
I only just recently found out through the Amanda Palmer song that Map of Tasmania is a euphemism for pussy.
It is.
Yeah.
It's many a cry in the schoolyard, show us your map of Tassie.
Map of Tassie, yeah.
Map of Tassie.
But what happens now with all the waxing? Then it's not the shape of Tassie anymore, is it?
No, there's... In reality, there's a lot of forest down there that were cleared, so it kind of makes sense.
Are you saying they took out the...
Every woman in the country went, well, I got to be factually accurate.
Yeah.
Swipe.
They took out the
and
Brazilian.
And so they had to buy Conan swords.
Yeah. Swipe through them.
Very, oh. Yeah.
That's when the dagger
painful.
Came in handy.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard the term,
yes.
the euphemism, growler for a vagina?
Yeah. No, I've okay. heard the term going the growl.
Okay.
Like if you were to make a visit down that way.
Growler.
For it to be referred to
as a growler.
As a growl. No. Growler sounds like a certain kind of queef.
You just sound like some sort of an expert, aficionado.
Yeah. Growler, yeah, sounds like a queef of some sort. I'm not
some
sure
sort kind of queef. Because yeah. there's so many to choose from.
Would you care to smell the cork? You ladies keep corks in their vaginas, right? That's how they work,
yeah.
right?
Sure.
That's how you.
Sure that's true.
That's how you keep all the goodness in.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. So you.
This one's corked. You weren't storing it correctly, ladies.
Let that play out.
Is it always interesting when you get a line of conversation going like that, where it's queeking, queefing and it's corking, you just happen to say that and that's the
that's
line.
What kills it.
That's the
yeah. No.
I am
no.
very
yeah, I have
very
a cork in
that.
My vagina, but don't suggest I'm standing up with it.
No, listen.
I lie down. I keep it perfectly moist at a cool room temperature.
Yeah.
How dare you, sir? Yeah.
The audience is basically a vessel and you can fill them up to a point.
Yes.
And then at a certain
and then
point
the cup runneth over.
Then they're like, we're good. We're good. We have to pour some of this out so we can accept more of your awful vagina jokes.
When, we're back.
Now you. So you did your show. You told me for 10 years you did your show.
Yes,
so
I
how did.
Did
you? How did you come upon the show? And then you can tell me about a show that I read about on Wikipedia that you did with Hugh Jackman.
Wow,
that I'm dying to hear
yes.
about.
This is our dirty secret. I was doing stand up and was spotted one night working at a club by someone who was looking for. Just a stand-up to do a spot on a talk show pilot that they were doing for what is the equivalent of our public access.
Okay.
And so I did the spot. It went well. They liked the show. They liked me, but they didn't like the host. So they said, if this goes to series, do you want to maybe host it?
And then you hear this other guy go, wait a minute. Hang on.
I'm still here. I'm in the room.
Go have a growl.
It just makes more sense. It makes more sense. The show's called Rove. A guy named Rove should host it.
And so I did that for 3 years. And then that was spotted by the biggest network in the country at the time. And so they said, do you want to come and do it properly with a budget?
Were the 3 years you were doing it, were you making any money on the show or was public access?
Oh, no. It cost us $50 every week to pay the makeup lady. So we were out of pocket. Yeah, it was terrible. But, yeah, and I was doing other little spots on shows to kind of make money, but that was what I loved doing. And that's when I discovered I'd been doing stand-up and I had done some acting. And still didn't quite know what I wanted to do in the industry. And then got to do this show and I went, this is it. I love doing this. Because you get to write material and perform it in the monologue. But then you also get to... There's a loose enough format that you get to play with it a little bit like improv. And you get to talk to people more famous than you. So I was like, this is sweet.
Yeah.
And yeah, then got signed to a network and 10 years later went, I think that's enough now.
Yeah. That is an incredibly bold decision to make.
It is. And, yeah, and there are slight times you just go, oh, stupid. That was stupid. But
No, but I
don't regret it. I miss getting to perform. I really love doing it. But the timing was right. And, yeah, just sort of we had celebrated 10 years in, like, September of that year. We finished in November. And, I don't know, looking through all these old tapes and stuff, I suddenly went, oh, it's just I think this 10-year celebration is almost a perfect way to send the show off, wrap it all up. And I just quietly spoke to a few people and said, I think this is going to be it. And then didn't tell anybody. Didn't do a... Like when Jay first left the Tonight Show, that was, I'll be, see you in 5 years, everybody. Johnny Carson, 12 months and I'm out of here. This was the night of my last show. I told everybody, this is it. This is the last one.
He's so funny.
And that was it. So it was like, you've got an hour. You've got an hour to call people and tell them this is it. Because I just didn't want any kerfuffle. I didn't want too much fanfare or anything. So I told the people that needed to know. And as far as the viewing audience went, I just let them know at the start of the show. I said, not just the last for the year, but the last forever.
Wow, was there a gasp in the audience?
It was this weird, this silence, as everyone thought I was lying.
Was it like you suggested their vaginas had been corked?
Yeah. Well, we had...
as bad.
And like, it was maybe 6 months before that, we did a joke where we had one of our esteemed music performers had done a national tour where he said, this is the last tour I'm ever going to do. It was like Kiss. It was like, this is the last tour I'm ever going to do. And he sold out record number of shows, and then maybe 6 months later, he said, I'm back! I'm back, baby! So that show, I did a joke where midway through the show, I made an announcement that I was retiring and I was leaving, and then we went to the commercial break, and then I came back after commercial and went, I'm back! I've decided I'm going to keep going. Kelly Clarkson was a guest on that show, and she got really emotional. She went, wow, this is really special. I'm here for your final show. Oh. Before I had to turn around and say to her, we're halfway through the show. What kind of host halfway through the show says, I think this is it.
Yeah.
Just someone can pad for the next 30 minutes. Just lock up when you leave. Yeah.
Did she instinctively break into a moment like this?
Yeah. It just seemed appropriate. So I had made jokes before on air about this is it, I'm finished. So I think everyone was waiting for the punchline that never came.
Wow. I think it's awesome because for me, I would smother a show like Of Mice and Men style, like a rabbit. I would never let that fucking bunny go. And people would be like, yeah, you think maybe you should put it down? It's fine. Like
it's starting to smell.
Yeah, no, he's happy. Like I would never, like, to the point where it would be, you know, like the last guy at the party to leave. Like, you really should go.
Well, that was the thing. I thought if I want to keep doing this or something like it, I have to stop this part of it now. This section of it has to stop now, or I'll just keep doing this till I kind of ruin what this 10 years has built.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to stop, find out what that next thing is, do that, and then that will allow me to keep going and have some longevity.
It was a nightly show, right?
Oh, it was once a week, but we were in prime time. We weren't late night.
Oh, okay.
So we were up against shows like The Apprentice and Grey's Anatomy and all these other things that would come and were going to be the show that would attack us and kill us and run away with us. And we kind of held our own for 10 years. So.
Wow.
Yeah, primetime's hard. It's not easy to do.
What is Australian television, like, what are Australian networks like to work
on? Oh, we can swear. It's great. We can have nudity. Like, we had a thing where we would say there's some new theme park ride that's opened, and we have a camera set up there right now, and if you want to be the first people to ride it in the country, you can do it. The catch is you have to be willing to do it naked. And people would go, okay.
Yeah, of course. Australia.
And you could do that. We had people, you know, you could swear. The law, the broadcast laws down there are very liberal, very liberal. But we are former convicts, so...
I've never done comedy in Australia, and I've always wanted to... But I'm always afraid, like, oh, the audience is going to be too rowdy. Like, how are the Australian audiences?
If anything, people say that they're quiet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a lot of... The amount of gigs you do where people come up afterwards and they go, that was great, I loved that. And you go, where? At what point? Because I heard nothing.
Didn't you hear me go, oh, yeah.
It's a lot of that laughing through the nose thing of... Yeah, and just nodding. Just a lot of nodding going on. But, I will say this about Americans. Americans know how to be an audience. Like, I've seen...
Hear that, guys?
Yeah! Case in point. It's,
except for Los Angeles, though.
Yeah. Oh! vagina core.
It suddenly just got like the wrestling where someone says, hey, town I'm in.
Yeah.
That other town that I just went to is better than you. And everyone just goes, boo!
They sure know how to laugh down there in San Diego.
Oh. I was just in San Francisco and they said you guys don't know how to be an audience.
What? That's bullshit. Who said that? Who the fuck said that?
It was a joke.
No!
Jonah!
No!
Jonah, you
what
can't...
Knife?
You can't kill a whole town!
Yo, you better watch me. Get those knives, Matt.
All right. Home Shopping Network.
The time is now.
81.
I need 80 knives. That sounds like a high shipping price. I
can't get the knives.
Nah, I'll get over it. I'll get over it.
It was great miming with the phone there. That was there was brilliant role play.
I would say
for
the
those
fact
who
that
were just listening to this on the internet. I would say
the fact
like
that
rare.
He picked up his phone made it incredibly poor miming.
But I'm
drinking
water.
Be trapped in a box. Don't you understand? If I'm not in a box, how can I be trapped in a box?
This makes no sense.
That's incredible. It's so funny what countries. I mean, I said this to you when we were having dinner. It's like we're so hypocritical in this country. Like the same people that complain about seeing a 16th of an inch of an areola will get drunk and smack their kids. Like and we get so we get.
Where was this areola?
In the Prodigy video.
I stayed up for that.
Here's an example. We had one of a very popular host in our country who was the host of one of our morning shows, also the host of Deal or No Deal. Like, he was a big name and was seen outside a club on a, like, Wednesday night or something, completely drunk, lying in the gutter. So the first thing people do, rather than, hey, mate, are you all right? It's get out my phone! I got to film this and send it to the newspapers.
Oh.
So the idea of like a TMZ kind of thing. So it's just everywhere. It went, you know, it's all over the internet. Other news services are playing it. This Australia's favorite TV host, and he's drunk in the gutter. His response the next day was, "Yep." And we as a country went, "Fair enough." And that was it. That was it. I think that kind of sums us up beautifully.
That's how.
He was like, yeah, I was outside a club. It was 1 a.m. I had been drinking. I was passed out in the gutter. What's your point? And everyone went, I don't know. What's in suitcase number 4, I guess, is the only question I have.
That's how George Bush got away with so much shit for so many years. You're like, did you just fire a missile into that civilian?
Yep, sure did. Okay, oh, well, oh, good.
Well, I see everything's in order here. It just confuses people.
Strategy.
Like, if you're a stand-up and like you get a heckler that yells out something positive, like not every heckler is saying you suck. Like some of them think they're helping by yelling something out. And that's when it gets weird because your instinct is whatever they say, negate it. So you suck. No, man, you suck. If someone yells out and they're trying to help you, all you can usually do is just, I don't know, like if someone was to say, I'm your Superman t-shirt, well, I like Superman too. And you go, no, you don't. Or, well, I actually hate him. That's exactly what that Bush experience must have been like for you.
This is a douchebag test.
Yeah. I hate this shirt, idiot. So you had
fell
eight
right
years
into my trap.
Yeah.
So you guys had 8 years of that.
Yeah. No, we had 8 years of it.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Hey, is it true in Australia?
We only voted for 4.
That's when you need a little island state somewhere just to send him.
Is it true in Australia that you can't really talk badly about the government? Isn't that a friend?
Oh, no,
is
no,
illegal?
No. You can do that all the time.
Oh, really? You can't start.
I think Singapore you can't. I had a friend who did some gigs in Singapore, and he was told beforehand by the tour manager.
Jonah has a disorder. He confuses Australia and Singapore.
Yes, Jonah.
Oh, we all look the same to you.
Tell me about the beaches.
No, we are allowed to. Actually, we're a very liberal country that way. There's a lot of... Yeah, we live on an island. It's like Lord of the Flies. We attack our own. It's fun. Good, clean fun.
Rove has the conch.
Yay, you read books. That's what that was. That was a great round of
applause. Listen, I read books and I make vagina corking jokes. I'm a dichotomy.
Something for everyone.
Yeah, that's right.
I caught the reference, but only because of the movie. Does that still count?
Yes, it does.
All right.
I dated an Australian girl for 4 years. I've been to Australia. Yeah.
Sweet.
I've been.
Did you see a map of Tassie? Huh?
No. Weirdly, there were convicts in there. Just like you said. She rented it out as a prison, you know, just to supplement her income. Paid very high taxes here in America as an immigrant. But, I've been to Brisbane and Melbourne and Sydney, and I've been to Surfers Paradise.
Nice.
And Noosa Heads.
It Great sure Barrier is. Reef, other I've, Australian things.
I haven't been to there.
We have such a very creative way of naming things. Like, there's a reef, and it stops ships from making it to the shore. It's pretty big. We should call it the Great Barrier Reef. Yeah. There is pretty much the entire center of Australia is one big desert, which is called the Great Sandy Desert. Which
redundant.
Either when we were mapping out our country, someone had the foresight to go, at some point there will be this thing called Google. And if someone wants to know what something is, they're just going to type in the first words they think of. We want them to find everything in our country.
They were thinking ahead. That's good SEO, search engine optimization. Yeah. Then again, in America, we have the Grand Canyon.
That's true.
Yeah, so we do that.
Well,
we
it's
do
pretty
that
awesome.
I wish there was a pretty awesome canyon. Like, it's not quite great, but you know, when the light hits it the right way, yeah. It's pretty awesome.
It's a great country, and people are like really nice, like genuinely nice people.
Yeah, and it seems it's infiltrating here. Like, there's a lot of Aussies working in the States, and it seems to be the first thing everybody says is just they're so nice and polite. And which has me thinking, what is everyone like in this country? Is that obnoxious?
There's 300 million of us. We got some dickheads. Like, yeah,
that's true. We have a lot of room to stretch. Yeah. We can walk it off.
Yeah. Your country's nice. Although, you celebrate Christmas in the summer, which is weird.
That has got to be the stupidest thing we took with us from our European heritage, was the idea. So you at Christmas time, you would go to the shopping mall, and there is some poor bastard who's dressed in the fur suit with the mittens and the beard, and it's like the equivalent of 100 and something degrees outside. And he's just sitting there sweating and sobbing. Go sit on Santa's knee. No, he's creepy. Yeah. It's a bad idea. And we still have like the big dinner or lunch is kind of the other thing we would have. So you have like ovens going and things like that. And you should be, you know, just having a sandwich or something light or a salad.
Oh, yes, a Christmas sandwich with the crust cut off.
Like all the traditions, like all the Christmas carols that talk about snow and sleigh rides, and we're all sitting there going, this makes no sense.
Let it sand, let it sand, let it sand. Let tits now.
Let tits now, indeed. Yes. Especially when you talk about, there was a version of... what is it? Dashing Through the Snow. What's that one? Dashing Through the Snow.
Winter Wonderland.
No. Yeah. Now, at this point, everybody is doing the exact same thing as I am doing. I give them the first line,
Jingle
and you have to go,
way.
Dashing Through the Snow. And what else?
Jingle bells.
I think you mean jingle bells. Idiot. It's like if I say what letter comes after L in the alphabet, you have to go, A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Some smarty pants had to prove you wrong.
Well, I did it easy by giving you the bit in the middle where you go L-M-N-O-P. So, or if you're a Sesame Street fan, Big Bird, Abkadefki Jekylmanokwastu.
Look, Stewart says. Yeah, it's the most amazing word I've ever seen.
Anyway, back to my unnecessarily boring story.
No.
There's an Australian version where you talk about, instead of dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh, you say dashing through the sand in our bathers and our thongs, pointing out at this point that a thong is a flip-flop.
Oh, right, foot thongs.
Yeah.
Not butt thongs.
No. Although right. You could be doing that too.
Yes. Well, because it's weird, because fanny to you guys means vagina too.
Yeah, so when you talk about a fanny pack.
Fanny pack.
Although, to be fair, that's where you guys wear it.
Yeah, it's in the front. It's near the vagina.
Like if we call them a bum bag, and no one wears it around the back.
So right, they wear them on the front.
So it should be a fanny pack.
Like a pussy mantle.
Like a pussy mantle.
Yeah, yeah.
So where you keep your bag. Extra
a tazzy
corks.
Bag.
A little tazzy bag.
Tazzy pouch.
A cork holder.
A cork holder.
Yeah. Oh, too soon.
Too soon.
I am indignant at your wording. I did not come out to hear about this tonight.
Didn't you, though?
Just a skosh. Yeah. Just a skosh. What is it? What's touring like in Australia? Because you know, do you go all the way to like Perth, or do you just stick to one side on the East Coast?
Well, we have.
How do you get across the Great Desert?
The Great Sandy Desert.
I grew up on the West Coast in a city called Perth, which is rumored to be the most isolated city on the planet, and that's probably fair because there is nothing else over that side. If you head any further west, there's the Indian Ocean, and east is desert for a long way. So when I was a kid, because our parents hated us, we decided to do a car trip to the east coast of the country, like driving across the road trip the entire way across. All I could think of is, we're going across the desert. To me, I'm thinking Sahara Desert. Like right. Here it's like, it'd be more like going out to Arizona or somewhere like that. Like there's desert, but there's trees, there's things right. around. And all, I just kept panicking the whole way, going, are you sure we have enough water? So all I could think of as a kid was, it's like sand dunes or something. It's going to be like, we're going to die. This is a stupid idea.
Or it's a bunch of guys in face paint are going to kill you and take your gasoline.
Yeah. Which could happen as well.
Totally.
So, I mean, if you want to go to the West Coast, they will gladly have you. But most people, if a rock band or something like that comes to tour, most of them don't make it over that far because there's just one city and that's it. But you travel on the East Coast, and then if you really want to go off the beaten track, you can quite easily. There's a lot of that outback stuff that we talk about that has nothing to do with the steakhouse chain.
At all?
I don't even know what a bloomin' onion is. I've never seen one
great.
In my life.
It's this onion and they
and we do not drink Foster's. You know we don't drink Foster's,
no,
right?
No, I know.
The commercial here, for anyone who's listening to this in a foreign land, there is Foster's beer that everyone thinks is the beer Australians drink. They don't. No one touches it.
Right.
And yet the slogan for it here is Foster's. It's Australian. Sorry. It's Cockney. It's Australian for beer.
Yeah.
It's not. It's Australian for, I can't believe they fell for this.
Yeah. You know, that's funny you say that because if you go to...
Jamaica, there's no red stripe.
Right.
No, there is.
No, there is. But if you go to Europe, Budweiser, American Budweiser, is very expensive because it's like an import.
Yeah, exactly.
And so they...
And Corona's from Maine.
Right. Oh, is that true?
Yeah. Really? It's Maine in the States.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Wow, that just killed the room. Yeah.
Sorry.
You just ruined so many Cinco de Mayo.
That sound you hear is 1,000 communal bubbles bursting at once.
There's no Santa Claus and all your friends are going to die someday. No. Good night.
Also, the idea of putting a lime on the beer is not for the taste of a lime. It's to keep flies away from the edge of your beer.
No, you're supposed to put the lime in the coconut. Get out of town.
What does that mean?
Yeah, when I was in Australia, was when I was still drinking. I don't anymore, but years ago when I was there. Crown Lager.
It's a good one. A crownie. Yeah. We like a lot of things get nicknames. So, like, even our
prime... Adorable nicknames.
Even our prime minister, our former prime minister, Kevin Rudd. Everyone could call him Ruddy. You could call him Ruddy to his face. Or K-Rudd.
Australians have this knack for cutening words. Like, my ex-girlfriend, like, bathing suits were cozzies.
Cozzies?
Bathing costume. Cozzies.
Your cozzie?
Your cozzie.
Or your budgie smudger.
Did you get your cozzie on there? Did you get your cozzie? And I'm like, why are you talking to me like that?
My favorite, when I do go back to Australia, one of my favorite terms to hear, and you get it usually when you hop off the plane and you get into a cab or something and you've got your luggage, and someone will say, should I just chuck it in the boot? Which means, should I put it in the trunk of
right.
the car?
Right.
You say that here and someone goes, oh, you're going to throw up in my shoe? That's disgusting.
Yeah, it was a bumpy flight. Yeah. It was a bumpy flight.
Yeah. Bad food.
Bins.
So what was the one thing you discovered about Australia that you thought was going to be a myth but was actually true?
You eat your young.
We all have pouches.
A dingo. Did eat my baby.
You're all born both sexes. Yes. That was something else I learned. Yeah, my girlfriend was like, "No, I'm a girl." Just so this folded up cock. Like, oh, I guess that's what Australians have. No, I'm totally a girl. What myth? There was no myth. Actually, everyone was really nice. We ate this one restaurant once where pigeon was on the menu.
Yes.
And I was like, "Oh, pigeon, is that, what does that mean?" And they're like, "It means pigeon." I'm like, "Really? So there's this weird white collar class of pigeons that and then your blue collar pigeons are outside?"
Like, that's highbrow. Like, if you're eating pigeon or something, like, you can eat kangaroo, you can eat emu. We're the only
out.
Country...
You just eat them out, right? Yeah. Is that what you mean? Out.
Open that pouch and just go crazy.
Yeah.
We're the only country in the world that eats their national emblem. We seriously. So you can eat. I was at a restaurant.
No, we don't eat eagles here.
No, you should.
Not anymore.
Though.
Not legally.
Not legal.
Yeah. Not in the way that they know. Yeah. Well, there was so I had kangaroo, I had crocodile, and I had emu, and it was on the menu. It was listed as being called hop, step, and jump, which I thought was
like
brilliant.
That's like surf
so surfing. Brilliant. And then I had a weird thing of going, which was which? Is that how do you that one? Okay, just, no, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Put the trap in front of the emu; they can't walk backwards. That's why they're the national bird.
I once had someone... Anyway.
I love it. I loved... everything... You know, although when I was there, there was a red tide, so you couldn't go...
The women were really shitty?
Yep. Hey-o! They need to cork. They need to cork.
Exactly, yeah. I was waiting for it. The one time
I was laughing
it made
at
sense
your stupid joke.
You dropped it. Now you suddenly dropped the cork. Right.
He stopped clenching.
To be fair, this audience's emotional clitoris is a tad exposed. They get a little squeamish, yeah. A little quick. You have heard the podcast before, right? This is incredibly tame by our standards. Yeah. Incredibly tame. But there weren't really any myths that were dispelled. It was a wonderful place, and I'm so bummed that I haven't been back. It's just hard to face the concept of 17 hours of travel.
It's a long, long way. I got to fly on one of the air buses that they have. It's like the double decker plane, and it's...
Oh, like the one in Harry Potter, the bus that
yeah,
comes
exactly,
there. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
exactly right. Yeah, that was one of the other things we got from England was their flying buses. But it was one of the A380 Airbus things.
Oh, wow.
It's like the biggest plane in the world, and it was one of its maiden flights from Australia, and it was great. And I got on board with some friends of mine, and they're talking about all these. You know, like, there's a bar area and, like, a little business center because the thing's so huge. And then as we're taking off, they said, but because we're heading to America, the air laws dictate that you can't have more than two people congregating in any area in one time. So all of these incredible
awesome
add-ons
things
that this plane had couldn't use any of them.
Oh, the terrorists win again!
Exactly, but now he's been shot in the eye! I'm going to get drunk on a plane with at least two or more other consenting adults.
We're going to have to pat you down. No, it's cool. We got him. Yeah. We got him. It's cool.
I love the fact that as soon as they went, we've shot and killed Bin Laden, everyone just went, I'm going to go crazy on a fucking plane now.
Yeah, right.
There's been like three instances of people just going, I'm going to get all Samuel L. Jackson snake on your ass and just pound on the cabin doors and go, like, was it three people now have done that?
I think
so. Is that what's going on?
Yeah. It's like these people have just decided they're going to go nuts.
Man,
on domestic flights too. I mean, come on. Call these peanuts.
We're gonna fly to a hub city like Atlanta, and shit's gonna get crazy. I hope to God. I mean, I'm on so many planes. I just when people like won't get off their phones, or I just have no patience. I'm like, come on, just fucking like we have to just do this. Like, let's not. Why make a thing out of it?
I love that as soon as the plane lands, people have to be the first to stand up and get their luggage out of the overhead bin.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like you can't get off the plane yet, and now you're just going to stand in the aisle like an idiot.
Awkwardly.
But I got up first, so I win.
I wait a minute. I wait a minute.
I win dignity.
I hate it when people applaud when the plane lands. They go, yay! It's like, you're still going real fast. A lot could go wrong.
I haven't heard that in a while.
Yeah. That usually only happens if it's a particularly like bad flight. Like, if there's a lot of bumps and people clap.
Yeah, still, though. How fast are you going when you like land a plane?
Like one... 170.
170 and a fucking, how many tons is a plane? How am I, why am I asking you about planes?
And every answer is coming with just a shrug of the shoulders that says, I have no
idea. It's anywhere from 1 pound to 1 million pounds. Yeah,
yeah. Everyone's age is 25 or 30.
And if I'm wrong, Twitter will let me know about it.
Oh, yes, they will. Yeah. Oh, yes, they will. How long did you do stand-up? How long have you been doing stand-up?
For about 15 years now.
And you're doing it in the States as well now?
Yeah, right? Yeah, when I can, yeah. Not as much as I would like to, but yeah.
How culture-centric was your material? Did you have to completely rewrite jokes when you got here?
I mean, stand-up, I think, as an art form, you're constantly... I liken it to being one of those plate spinners. You know, the guys mm-hmm. who got the plates on sticks. So you set one off, and then you go and start all the others, and you might have to... remember that the first one you have to go back and do it. I did a show once in New Zealand, and it was a tour, so I had sort of a show, like had a beginning and an end, and there was a piece on one of the contestants for what was our current Australian Idol at the time, and then I started, it just came out of my mouth in New Zealand, and suddenly just went, they have no idea what I'm talking about. So I just stopped it dead and just dropped in something else, and here they come to get me now.
Yeah.
The chickens have come home to roost.
The Idol Police! Seacrest, he's found me. And so I just suddenly jumped ahead to, in my head, I'm still talking, but in my head going, right, where does this Idol routine end and what's the next thing? And just jumped ahead, but ended up about a third of the way through that routine and suddenly went, holy shit, I missed the most important setup to what will be the punchline that's still maybe 3 minutes away. And so I had to somehow go back, hit that setup again, and then pick up where I had left this routine to get to the end. And it was this weird, intricate dance that was going on in my head, but I was filming it on the night, and you watch it, and you wouldn't even have any idea.
I would love to see the EEG of a comic's brain when he's on stage.
It's like just the grinding of gears or something.
Because there's an element where you're remembering stuff, and then there's another element where you're thinking ahead, and then there's another element where you're making stuff. Like, every part of your brain must just be...
And like, I mean, there's things like, okay, so it's not a footpath, it's a sidewalk, it's not the lift, it's the elevator. There's things like that, you know. But then other things, as you're about to say it, part of your head is going, I hope this is right. So as it's coming out, you're almost thinking two or three steps ahead of yourself to go, do I need to change this word? Do I need to change this word? And then every now and again, I did a gig recently where I went to say the word memo. And I know it's memo, but something at the last minute said memo. And so I said memo, and that's what happened. The entire audience went, ah, ha, 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 that's wrong, fuckwit.
And then they all get up. That's what we were waiting for. Oh, let's go, come on.
I laugh at you. You're different. And,
I mean, it's hard. You speak two languages.
And then I had to do this whole bit where I went, like, I know that's not right. I stopped and went, are you laughing because I got that wrong? And they were like, yeah. I said, well, just for the record, that's not what I would normally say. And then they didn't believe me. So then there was this weird moment between performer and audience.
Well, they were just collectively crossed their
arms. Right. They all say that.
I don't think so, bro.
Go back to Memo Land. Why don't you write up a schedule back in Memo Land?
you try to last minute save the references, like... Oh, I saw this girl's map of Tallahassee.
Tallahassee. No, and that looks really like that.
sort of.
Yeah.
There is
a man in a canoe in Tallahassee, though. So. There is quite literally a little man in a canoe lives there, so it's quite accurate.
Do you not know that?
Yeah, the girls know. Yeah, of course, every guy's got no clue. Yeah.
No. The man in the canoe means clitoris.
You mean clitoris? The way you say it.
Hey, stop it! Oh, it's not cool. It's not cool when the thong is on the other foot. It's not cool at all, man. I don't know, but Melbourne has an incredible comedy festival, and I've always kind of wanted to go. But you know, we were talking about it, and you said no. It's a time commitment. It is a month.
Yeah, like, it's like having a residency. You're there for a month, and you do a show every night. Sometimes. To a night. And I mean, you don't have to, but the idea is you go and you're there for the month. And yeah, it's a big commitment, but I think it's like the third biggest in the world as far as festivals go, after Edinburgh and Montreal, and I'm not sure who comes first. But yeah, but it's a great time of year. It's a great time of year.
Is it? It's during the summer months. When is it?
Well, the autumn, sort of fall. So it's April.
Okay.
I could have just said April. And then let you work out what time of year as far as the seasons go.
Okay, so the opposite.
Well, it's mild. It's mild. Temperatures get a bit, you know. Oh. I mean, you'll need like just a little hoodie or something at night just to.
Southern Hemisphere!
Just to take off the chill.
That's one of the biggest things. I do find Americans just go, like, when you say, oh, I'll be back there for Christmas, and they go, yeah, because it's like summer that time of year, isn't it? Like, that's a huge revelation.
Yeah.
It's the one thing they know. It's everything's the opposite, right? Right?
Right. Everything's the opposite.
Oh, yeah, I've done my homework.
What did you feel like when you... when was the first time you came to America?
The first time I came was in... I can't remember what year it was. I could do the math, but I won't. But I was 19 because I could legally drink in my own country... but couldn't hear because it's 21.
Right.
Even though I was traveling with my mother at the time. And there's nothing more belittling than being in a bar and being told you can't be served because the guy said, well, you're not legal. And you have to sit there and go, but this is my mum. And she's going, it's okay. I'm vouching for him. He can drink. And them saying no.
Yep.
And then you have to sit there and go, I'll just have a soda or something. That takes the cool out of it.
Then they give you a Foster's.
Yeah.
Which you...
Yeah.
But I did do a line of coke off a hooker, so...
That's legal.
They will not find her body anytime soon. That was fine.
Bro,
was
you're fine. Recording this. You just said that out loud.
Yeah, I didn't say where, though, so...
Oh,
fine.
Yeah, that's very good.
How does Australia view America? Like, does everyone think...
We like you now.
Wait. So you're saying I don't have to pretend to be Canadian when I go?
No, it's good. Okay. So, yeah,
that's a good rule of thumb. You should always pretend you're Canadian wherever you go outside this country. It's a good rule of thumb.
I think a lot of the weirdness does exist, and worse than you think. Like, we know about your Glenn Becks and your...
You know about that?
You get here and you go... Wow,
we were hiding
just the
him.
Tip of the iceberg.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
A lot of, like, the idea of government not trying to actually do anything to help the people that it's meant to represent is bizarre to
not
me.
Not with my tax dollars.
There's a lot of that that's crazy. Like, you think you know stuff about the place, but it's a lot more full on than that.
Yeah, I don't.
And you drive on the other side of the road. Crazy. I just sit my.
You can go right on
here.
Red though, pretty cool,
that
right?
Not in all states.
That is the best rule.
Yeah.
Anyone's ever invented.
You're welcome.
We have these things called roundabouts.
Yep.
You know what they are?
I do. Yeah. I've driven in roundabouts.
A roundabout is exactly that. It's like a circle in the middle of the road.
We call them traffic circles here in the states.
Oh, do you really?
They actually are called traffic circles. Yeah.
We call them rotaries.
That sounds like something, like. Like this, the urban, the city equivalent of what happens, like the crop circles so a spaceship comes and lands.
These aliens have created traffic circles.
We should study this.
Yeah, we call them traffic circles. There aren't a ton, but we do have them scattered.
In Australia, everyone loves them.
Like, can't just, get enough of them.
Yeah, it's like, why have
Big
an
Ben Parliament
when we could a big circle here and just, hey kids, it's Big Ben. It's that kind of thing.
Yep. Yeah.
Round and around in circles.
Yep.
I can't remember what I was saying. Oh, right on red.
Yeah.
It's just the greatest thing. It's the greatest thing.
It's great, but it's not everywhere. It's not New York.
Yeah, you can go right on red. Unless the sign says not to.
Oh, are you ready for this?
What?
Are you ready for this? There's a thing called a hook turn.
What is that?
Which sounds like a dirty sex phrase.
Right,
but I think it's only in the city of Melbourne, and then only in the city, like if you're downtown, where if you want to turn, let's say, right... which for us is across traffic. You go into the left-hand lane, you veer off to the left, and you sit there in like a line of cars so that all the rest of the traffic can keep going through, so you're not blocking the intersection.
Interesting.
Then when the light turns amber, you all start to turn like some sort of Busby.
How many
Berkeley
fucking colors do you have in your lights?
Like a bunch.
But then when it goes from amber to hot
puce,
orange...
Then when it hits paisley...
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, you've patterned lights. Yeah.
And then you, so then you one by one will turn, and then you, and then you head across that the other way. So you're joining the.
But once the light turns plaid, get the fuck off the road.
It means the shit is going down.
I love
drop a traffic circle in
my
there.
My favorite Australian thing I've ever seen is a show called Skippy the Bush Kangaroo.
It's true. It's great.
You know
that? He was our Lassie.
Yes, but to the extent, but Lassie never dialed phones.
Yeah.
Which Skippy...
Sounds like he just did.
Oh, my shit.
Sounds like he just did.
I just said, oh, my shit. That's weird. But I kind of like it. Oh, my shit.
Unless you actually did shit yourself.
Yeah. Oh, my shit.
Oh, just, it really, oh like, my no, seriously, it came
oh
out.
Oh, my shit.
Yep.
Adoring.
But Skippy the Bush Kangaroo, like the episode that I saw, they, like, someone was in trouble, and you just saw one... It's like you just saw a phone get knocked off the receiver, and this dead kangaroo hand
yes.
come in from out of frame
yes.
and like punch the buttons to call help.
If there's two very popular tourist souvenirs made from the kangaroo. One is bottle openers, although they don't really sell them so much anymore because they're quite confronting. But it used to be like a bottle opener. That was a kangaroo paw, and the other end you could open the top of your beer with. The other thing is a money purse made from the scrotum.
Oh, that's funny because I call my balls a money purse.
What?
Yup.
It's weird that an animal, the only animal with a pouch, and they choose the scrotum.
Yeah, too obvious.
Yeah. Now people will expect it.
That's for your laptop, John. You just put your...
But that's what I think they used to use, like two of those kangaroo paw bottle openers to make him pick up things for the close-up shot. But he would put things like in and out of his paws. That's right. Answer phones and
built-in fanny pack.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Whatever
happened to him?
I don't know.
I worry.
What happened?
I don't know.
You know what? Skippy did his show for 10 years, too, and he's like, I'm done.
He's living it up in Los Angeles trying to work out how to
turn the one kangaroo that's here.
Yeah. Imagine that. There's one kangaroo, but he's got like a really over-the-top fake moustache. And you go up to me, are you Skippy?
No.
I am just a hipster.
I'm Slippy the Bush Kangaroo. I'm nowhere near as agile.
I got to pet kangaroo. I went to an animal park. It was not in Queensland, though.
Yes, you should preface it by saying it was an animal park. I didn't just go out and start fondling.
You can just touch these things, right?
Yeah. No, they like it. They really like
it. They love it.
They wouldn't dress that way if they didn't, am I right?
Yeah.
They were asking for it.
They wanted it
that
bad.
Hot fucking kangaroo.
Go on.
I think we had to go to New South Wales, maybe, because I think it was legal there to. I think that's where we had to go to hold a koala.
That's Queensland.
Oh, it is Queensland.
The only state it is legal to touch a koala.
What?
Yeah, and so we went to this place, and then
he's genuinely excited.
Yeah, this is awesome.
Yeah, you go to this animal park, and first of all, there's this whole outdoor pen of kangaroos who are just so fucking over people. You know, like they're all just lying there, slouching around. Like,
well, I'm over the kangaroos. Talk about
hang on, I'll get there. I don't want to blow the story for a minute. And so you get basically what looks like dog food, and then you feed them. You can feed the kangaroos by hand, and then you go to the koala. And there's an Australian person there. They're like, all right, just hold still, and they'll hold on to you. And then you just stand there, and the koala just. Bleh. And they just hold on to you, but they have claws. Like their claws kind of fucking hurt. Like they, you think they're gonna like far away. They're all adorable. When you get up close to them, they're kind of mongrelly. Like they fucking
they have chlamydia.
Oh, that's
so
right.
Use condoms.
Yeah. When I fuck a
So wash your hands before you eat anything.
Don't go bareback on a koala. You're gonna fucking regret it. Yeah.
I'm not an idiot, Chris.
Don't bareback. You'll get the clap and the claw.
What if I just shoot a load in their mouth?
Fine.
Fine, right? That's fine. That's fine.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
That's
is
fine.
Is he blowing that's you or are you just aiming
no,
at
I'm
him?
Just,
are you just like, I just little drag by?
They don't move very quickly.
No, they don't.
You wouldn't
move
even
quickly.
Need great aim. You really. Make sure you eat a lot of like eucalyptus or something.
I just go.
But the right
just,
one.
I just take it straight down.
Yeah, just go.
None of this. Oh, but it's my birthday. None of that. They'll just. Yeah. They will just take it.
Noted.
Bukak koala.
Guys, I wouldn't fuck the koala. I would just jerk off next to it and then come in its mouth. I mean, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys, go easy on Matt. He's in a lot of pain.
A lot of pain because he can't jerk off into a koala's face.
Seriously.
That's
all I want. I got to go to that city in Australia to do that?
It's okay. It's the tiny pillow talking, everybody. It's okay. It's the back cushion. So, did you enjoy your koala fondling?
I did, but it was so quick. I mean, you know, because it was a... I was very excited.
It always is the first time.
Yeah,
I mean,
so
you know, the first time. You know,
of course.
You go back, you try again after 15 minutes.
The koala was like, it's okay. And I'm like, this never happened to me before. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oi, just shoot it on my back.
They're there. But it was, you know, like, because you... They basically just hold on to you for a second, and then you don't know when it's over. You're like, is this done? Like, I don't know.
It's pretty much what it's
like.
Because
that's all they do. They just hold on.
They're asleep before you start,
yeah,
let alone
exactly.
When you finish.
Yeah, because they're high on eucalyptus.
That's true. And if you're listening to this on the worldwide interweb right now, Google koala call or grunt, because everything about them seems to be so cute. I know they got claws and things, but if you've ever heard, the only sound a koala makes is this mating sound, which is like a
wait, how do you do it?
And that's not just after you've
do you ever see that picture? It was after the wildfires in Australia, and there was a fireman with the koala had his hand on the guy's finger, and he was just giving the koala water. You
yes.
ever see that? One of the most adorable pictures in the world.
Oh,
not very funny.
Juxtaposed next to the coming on its face, like that's
yeah,
an adorable
yeah, yeah.
story.
Well, once the cameras were off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, then the water.
That's
was
what the water
down.
Was to watch. Yeah.
It was actually it was a porno. He wasn't really
picture.
A fireman.
You didn't see the first yeah. picture.
Yeah.
That's what they call fluffers in Australia. Firemen.
Koalas, nature's fluffers. Yeah. They are. I love, so that was the koala. And then I didn't really have any. Oh, you're
platypus?
Fucking.
Did you see a platypus?
I did not see a platypus, but I saw the flying
fox. If
like
a diva, if a diva, if a, maybe, if a beaver fucked a duck, that's a platypus.
If a beaver fucked Christina Aguilera, a diva.
Yeah. Isn't that what Maggie Gyllenhaal would look like? No,
I don't know.
Sorry.
Hey, God.
Yeah, come on. You know, yes, the platypus is my second favorite monotreme.
What's your first?
The echidna.
Oh, yeah. What is that?
What's your fifth?
I don't even know what that is.
No fucking fifth.
The other platypus.
There's no fifth. Yeah, I saw flying foxes, which are insane.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen a flying fox? They're basically like dog-sized bats. Is what they look like.
Yeah.
Enormous. They look terrifying.
And they've got like a because at first you think, oh, they're cute because they've got like a proper furry little face.
Yeah.
It's like the first time I saw not an Australian animal, obviously, but a lemur. You know, because
right.
you see, they're going, that's perfect. It's like a monkey and a dog in one. That's like the perfect pet.
Yep.
A monkey dog or,
yep.
or a donkey. No, that's not right. But a monkey dog, if I could have the perfect pet, that would be it.
Yep.
And that's what you first think when you see a flying fox, because they look cute and cuddly. Then they spread out their big bat wings.
Leathery wings. Ew. And they'll wrap up in them. They're so fucking terrifying.
And every just about, so children, come to Australia.
Come to Australia.
Giant bats, the worst spiders.
Your house spiders are fucking cocksuckers,
man.
Those are pretty big fucking spiders.
There was a spider called a huntsman spider.
You're the huntsman.
Big, furry, just, I'm going to fuck you up. Spider. I don't know that they're venomous, but they're big, hairy assholes. And I was staying at this place up in the northern tropics, and there was one there. It was relatively big, and I just thought, I'll do the right thing. I won't just spray it with something. I won't swat it. Like, I'll do the right thing. So I got a broom and was just trying to gently just sort of usher it out the front door, and it was just begrudgingly just sort of being slid across the floor. It's like, I don't want to. Like when you try to take the dog outside and it just drops its weight onto the ground. So I'm just slowly just trying to get this spider out. Made it to the front door, to the step. It's gone out onto like the doormat. It just spun around 180 onto the head of the broom, shot up like a rocket up the arm, the handle of the broom towards me. I shrieked like a woman. And I know I'm borderline, but you know. I started running backwards up the hallway. This spider starts running towards me, picking up speed, coming straight at my feet, and I'm barefoot. I just panicked and just did the splits. One of my feet has hit like the skirting, the railing on the floor, broke my little toe. This thing stopped dead and just gave me this, and then just turned around and just walked back towards the front door. And then like turned around at the last minute to kind of look at me and went, yeah, you shit yourself. And then walked out. True story.
Grabbed the other end of the broom, pushed you down the stairs.
Said, that's not a broom, this is a broom. And that's where you just go, holy shit.
Yeah.
And that's when I went, I don't want to be in this country anymore.
I did, yeah. The first time I went to Australia, my girlfriend at the time, her parents' house, and one of the huntsmen was in there. I'm like, and her dad was like, oh, that's just a huntsman spotter, that won't hurt you.
Sounds like an old folk band, the huntsman.
The huntsman.
The huntsman.
It's a huntsman. And it's just a guy in a corner with a martin.
Scary spiders, but great singing. Great singing voices. Great singing
voices. Gorgeous voices.
Bit of bluegrass. Yeah. It's very nice. Yeah.
So I just quickly want to find out what was the show you did with Hugh Jackman?
It was his first ever foray into television. He had done some acting, which is kind of how he got his claim to fame. And then
he's a triple threat.
He's done a little bit of that acting thing. But he had just come fresh from this drama series that kind of where he met his wife and the two of them became, you know, she was already a very big name, but it suddenly made him a huge name as well. And then the next thing he crops up doing is co-hosting this show about fashion on cable.
Not surprising me yet.
I was recruited as the, you know, goofy cadet reporter that would go out and do weird stuff. So we had this, so I kind of, that's when I met him. And then at the, I think we only did one season of it. And the two of us were sort of talking at the rap party. And so it was like, so what next for you, the very tall and handsome Hugh Jackman? And he said, oh, well, I'm thinking of going overseas. I'm going to go do this musical Oklahoma on the West End in London. And I said, well, good luck with that. Whatever. And that was huge for him. And it led to X-Men and all these other
things. Somehow that led to Wolverine.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oklahoma. That fellow right there. Yeah. Well, he already had the claws in Oklahoma.
And then... And then the next time I see him, he's a guest on the show, on my show, with John Travolta for Swordfish, the movie where he was the computer hacker for some reason had to prove how good he was at hacking into mainframes, the John Travolta character had some prostitute suck him off at the time.
Yeah.
Because, you know...
Why wouldn't you do that?
Because if he couldn't do it, like, because that's distracting.
And then he's like,
that's
quick,
really
get the koala.
He was racing the hack with ejaculating.
He's sitting there trying to tap into, I don't know, some FBI database. And they're going, well, let's see if we can make this really tricky. Like, to me, that would be try with one hand. Or we're going to blindfold you. Not, hey, lady of the night, go to work.
We're going to put you on the back of a horse and then send you through. Yeah.
Go the growl.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he was on to promote that. And so I saw him... backstage before the show, and he's going, oh my god, look at you. And I said, no, look at you. And he's going, no, look at you. And I said, you turned up with John Travolta, you win. And so that was kind of where...
But America lost with Swordfish.
I didn't know that the movie was about hacking. I just remember it as the Halle Berry.
That was the booth.
Halle Berry tits movie.
Yeah.
Thanks, Joel Silver.
Was that Joel Silver?
Yeah.
Wow.
Look at you.
I'm surprised
you
let
that
get through.
You said that with such confidence. Yeah.
Well, I don't know how much a fucking plane weighs, but I know Joel Silver produced Swordfish.
So that was when we met, and that was good.
Now, this is the guy who thinks, you know, like...
Was it a tragedy when he rappelled in on Oprah and then got hurt?
No, I'd seen him do that before and it was fine, but he smashed his face up good. And we, I mean, all of us as a country, we initially just went, boo, Oprah Winfrey, we're paying for this tour. Like, the Australian taxpayer paid for that whole trip. So before she came, it was just like, this is costing us how much money? What the hell? And then Oprah turns up and it's, we love you, Oprah. Yes, Aussie, oi, 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 Oprah. And but then, whoa, when she nearly ruined Wolverine's pretty face, we were not happy.
His face was fine. He has adamantium as for his skeletal. That's true. There,
so. He heals up.
Plus his healing powers, you guys.
Yeah. I'll bet we're the first people to make those jokes.
Yeah.
Real timely.
Real timely.
Real timely.
Who brought it up?
What?
Who brought it up?
I don't...
Me. Damn it.
The guest is always right. So you've been in the States for 18 months now?
Yeah, yeah.
And then, so what's the plan? Are you going to go? Are you going to stay here? Are you going to do a show here? Are you going to go do a show back in Australia?
Well, at the moment, there are plans to do a show here that will air in Australia, which is weird. But in the meantime, I'm doing spots on Chelsea, and I've got a regular gig on The Tonight Show, which is fun. And at the moment, I'm just enjoying doing not as much as I used to do. Mm-hmm. Like being able to do all the little things that hosting a show every week didn't allow me to do. So getting to see a bit more of the country, travel a little bit is fun too. Stuff like this is really good. That cough came at a really inopportune time. Yeah. Stuff like this is really fun.
That audience must not be having a good
don't
time.
Don't worry, audience member. We'll make it to California.
All I hear are crickets and someone coughing. This is not going well.
We need some shit passing in the night.
And then I plan to be the first man on the moon. And I'm going to... I'm going to marry a minotaur. Yeah. And we will have tiny bull babies. And those bull babies will have sex with a mermaid and then have a half bull, half fish creature that will not make sense. A little more exciting?
Then I'll have sex with it and then I'll dry its fin off so it gets legs.
Circle of life.
Circle of life.
We're all back to where we were.
Circle of life.
See, now they can't cut that joke.
Who's they?
I'm looking down the end of the desk now.
I do all this shit. There's no they. I'm
you
the fucking
the they?
Network. I'm
He's the
they.
You are the they.
Yeah. I brought Matt on to be the they who would edit the podcast.
And Chris is like, I'm a control freak.
Actually, I think I literally said it that way, to be fair.
That transition isn't how I like it. I'll do it.
Just give me that. Just give me that. Yeah. Here, Matt, will you edit? Just give me that back. Just give me that back. I'll do it. I'll do it. But yeah, so I'm going to...
Worked out for me.
Hooray. You couldn't now with your back anyway.
That's right. Can't edit. Oh. Hurts. Yeah.
How good is that for everything?
Sorry, bad back.
I would, but my back, so...
If they call me up for jury duty, I'm like, fuck you, doctor's note.
Yeah. I wouldn't recommend saying fuck you. I wouldn't recommend it.
I say doctor's note, then fuck you?
Yes.
Yeah. No, actually, no, that's a
I'm
section.
I'm fuck you with a doctor's note. Yeah. What? That
right,
came out wrong.
Right
under the check the box to be excused, it says, fuck you, I have a doctor's note.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. It is hard to get. Do you have jury duty in Australia?
Yeah, I've done jury duty twice.
Wow.
And the first one was like, it was just a small, like a local, I don't know what the tiers of the court system
this
are.
Is
like,
small murder.
This is a small murder. It was pretty open and shut. But it was...
we call it a murdy.
Murdo.
Oh, I did a killy. A murdo.
Oh, that's so adorable. Oh, you did about
how this His made it to trial, murdied. I do not know. So there's someone selling their home. The agent has the key. Someone says, I'd like to come and have a look at the house, please. Can I pick up the key to have a look? And then just moves in.
Whoa. Oh.
And then when they say, hey, that's not your house, they say, want to bet my shit's in it?
Squatter's rights.
And then they said, really? No, not your house.
And then he's like,
what
fuck
are you
going
to do about
doctor's
it?
Note.
Take me to court?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is ballsy.
And it was like... some weird 12 Angry Men play or something where everyone's just going, well, this is so obviously guilty. And there's one guy who goes, well...
Oh, Jesus.
I'm going, this isn't the kind of trial where we're going to be kept overnight and get a free hotel stay, dude.
Oh, okay, yeah, then he's totally guilty.
Guilty. But I just thought that was such a brilliant thing to try. Maybe if I just move in.
Yeah.
The problem is not enough people think to do that, so I don't know why I gave that guy this accent. He was clearly Australian.
Not enough people think to do that, to move to Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah,
what you
gonna do?
What I gonna do?
You could just fucking till you get the key.
I'm
you
can work at car I'm dealerships. I just go up. I say, hey, let me test drive that Cadillac.
Hey,
I got the keys.
I'm fucking this koala in the face.
Hit you with my boomerang.
Yeah.
I got a doctor's note that says this.
You've made more cliche Australian references than we have.
Can I do my favorite Australian? That's my favorite Australian joke.
Yes.
What do you call a boomerang that doesn't come back?
What?
A stick.
Now,
the defense rests.
Here's my question. As a Midnight Oil fan, did you ever give the land back to the Aborigines? Or
no.
The time has come.
Once we're warriors.
A fact's a fact.
To say fair.
It belongs there.
That's a very Australian thing to hear. The time has come to say, oh, nah, can't. Can't figure. Come on. Nah, give it back.
Give it back.
He became a politician.
Yes, he became a politician.
Not a very good one, but he became a politician. Hey, you had an actor who was president. Really.
Yep.
His greatest claim to fame was working with a chimp.
Yep.
We had a governor that was Conan the Barbarian.
That's true.
Yeah. And then there was another governor who was Jesse the Body Ventura.
Oh, yes.
And another one was on Saturday Night Live.
Al Franken. Yep, that's right.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, so that guy is not a politician anymore.
Peter Garrett. I don't think he is. I think he just disappeared.
This bill is now going to the floor.
Let's give it back.
You really love Midnight Oil.
I had really no idea that I had such a good Peter Garrett impersonation.
He's a good one for that. And can you do his dance?
Oh, I can't remember what it's a weird.
Imagine like you being electrocuted and then just
yes.
A bit of that. Like it's like a zombie being electrocuted or the Nazis at the end of
Raiders of the Lost Ark. Yeah.
Thriller, that kind
of. They looked in the Ark. Yeah, they looked into the Ark.
That's it.
And he's a tall like bald
pale man.
He's
a tall, skinny, bald, pale man.
He looks like the doctor who did Body Worlds.
Have you ever seen that
German guy? That
Gunther Van Hagen.
Gunther, yeah. Who looks like the kind of guy that would plastinate people's bodies.
Yeah.
When you see him, you're like, that fits it.
It's the plastination process.
Yeah.
I was so riveted watching that series where he just had all the cadavers and he's just chopping them all up until he, because obviously English is a second language, watching him trip over the word epididymis. And he got a bit Porky Pig with it and went epididymis. And I just went, oh, I know you're cutting a dick, but it's funny now. It's so funny.
Epididymis.
That's all, folks.
I like the idea that someone's like, wow, it's so great you're doing this for science. Science. Yeah, you could totally show everybody my work.
Well, technically, jerking off is a biological process.
And now it's a tax deduction. Yeah.
Well, I want to. We have some other Australian guests that I would like to bring on, you guys.
You can clap.
Yes. This is very exciting.
Good American audience. Good.
Legends, masters of the interwebs, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Axis of Awesome.
Oh, thank you very much. Excellent.
Thank you.
Hey.
I was really enjoying that. Yeah. You can keep clapping if you like.
How's it going?
Hey.
Come over.
It's not the same when you ask for it, you know. Thanks anyway.
Are we going to move in the front?
Yeah, move into the front.
We're going to perform over here, I think.
No,
it's a podcast. You don't need lights necessarily.
Yeah. Just for everyone listening at home on the interwebs, you're going to miss some real sexy dance moves.
Yeah, this is going to be...
So, just for you people.
Pick some very visual songs to perform for you tonight.
And for those watching this live, just act like they're really sexy. So.
Yeah. Yeah, we got cue cards and everything for when to go,
Now, look... here we go. What we want you to do, first off, is take a look at us and take a look at our bodies. You can see that we are clearly men.
That's right. Well, we're actually 2.5 men.
Yeah, for those listening, Benny is quite short.
Yeah, the one place I could get away with that.
Do not feed him after midnight.
Yeah.
That was a horrible Christmas.
Yeah, it was terrible. Now, we are what the music industry would call a man band, but... Years ago, we were not men at all.
We used to be boys.
That's correct. So naturally, when the three of us were boys, we were a boy band.
Here we go. Steel string guitar.
Chimes.
synthetic percussion.
Baby girl, I wanna show you how much I really love you.
How much I really love you,
baby girl.
That's what I call you, to show you that my love for you is true.
Baby girl, my love is so great that I wrote you this song.
And to show you how much I really care, it sounds like every other one.
The beat kicks in and then I sing a bit more rhythmically. To make it sensual, I sing it in a minor key.
I move my hands like I'm pushing someone
get
in front of me.
Way.
Now that's the first verse, and now I'm gonna take it to the bridge. I say something about how I don't wanna break up. Then I turn around and rhyme it with makeup. I tell you that we should be together.
How long?
Forever.
That long?
And ever.
So long.
But you're always in my heart.
In my heart.
And I never wanna be apart.
Never be apart.
Honey, you'll always be mine.
Oh, baby, be mine.
Baby girl, it's chorus time.
This is how you write a love song. Yeah, this is how you write a cliche love song.
This is how you write a love song.
Yeah, a shitty 90s R&B love
this
song.
This is my backup and he sings quite breathily.
Breathily.
He takes the words I say and sings them after
sings
me.
Sings them after me.
He emphasizes words and sings emphatically.
I sing emphatically.
Now listen to us sing an a cappella harmony.
Now we're back at the bridge. I haven't written anything for this bitch, so I'm gonna stretch out the words, repeating everything I say. Till I get back to the chorus. Yeah, a shitty, 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 shitty love song.
And to show you I can't, I throw my hands in the air. Now cut the music while I sing along. No.
Hey, girl. I've been standing up the back, not doing much for this song. But that's because my talents are quite limited. But that don't mean that I love you any less. In fact, it means the opposite.
I'm just showing off my voice.
She said it's so hard for me to find the words to really express the way that I feel about you, girl. Especially when I have to worry about fitting those words to music and there's some kind of rhyme structure involved.
Meaningless whisper.
I know it's lazy songwriting, but I don't care, because I sleep on a big pile of money at night and a bed. Girl, you might think it's weird, girl, that there's three guys singing about just one girl, girl. But let me tell you something, girl, it's not weird at all. In fact, girl, it's an industry standard, and it happens all the time.
Happens all the time.
Well, girl, I better wrap this up about now, because I'm about to get cut off.
Wow, 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 wow. Baby, I wrote you a love song. It wasn't hard and it really didn't take long. A totally generic love song. Yeah, really, this could be about anyone.
But it's for you,
yeah, this is your love song. Not specific, girl. To let you know we take it seriously. Then watch as we change the key.
When you change the key in a love song, it means you're singing passionately.
Wow, 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 wow.
But we still haven't reached the end.
No, because we're gonna change the key again.
Look at me, I'm singing a love song.
Yeah, anyone can sing a shitty love song. A love is so unique that I copy every other shitty love song. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Girl.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now we're going to magically transform back into a man band.
Which means, for the listeners at home, that means Jordan's going to do his shirt up.
Yeah, so...
You heard some screaming during the song. That was him undoing or revealing.
Sorry, ladies. The forest is closed. For those listening, this is what a forest sounds like.
You know, they rented those microphones.
Some of these trees were my friends.
Never before has that joke been more appropriate to say than in a comic book shop.
Quick, Hobbit to Isengard!
He looked at Benny when he said that, so... Good. That's Benny down there. I'm just pointing at Benny at the moment.
These are my... I have found my people. Yes. Now, look, moving on. Throughout history, there have been, you know, landmark songs.
Songs, for example, like John Lennon's Imagine.
Like the Eagles' Hotel California.
Like Hannah Montana's Pass the Fucking Crack Pipe. From her album, Bitch Gotta Get High.
Sure. Yeah, but look, we have written a song, and it will change the world. And if you're not crying now, you will be by the end of this.
It's Friday night, I'm gonna feel alright. It's party night, alright, alright, alright. Alright, alright, yeah, alright. Gonna see the sights, hold that booty tight. Gonna drive through town tonight.
Tonight so bright, it's dynamite.
I'm gonna crank the volume when I get to the lights. Fucking music coming out of my car. Can you hear the fucking music coming out of my car? Can you hear the fucking music coming out of my car? Can you hear the fucking music coming out of my car? Can you hear the fucking music coming out of my car? Can you hear the fucking music coming out of my car? Can you hear the fucking music coming out of my car?
There's a lot of fucking music coming out of my car.
The car is pumping while the bass is thumping. Bitches in the front seat crumping, pumping.
Yeah, jump in the back for some bumper bumping. Got my hands all over there, lady lumping.
All your other MCs, you ain't got nothing. My rhyme's so tight, yet something, something.
Everybody on the street, get this party jumping.
Around midnight, I'll turn into a pumpkin.
Pumpkin.
Do you like the fucking music coming out of my car? Do you like the fucking music coming out of my car? Do you like the fucking music coming out of my car? Do you like the fucking music coming out of my car? Do you like the fucking music coming out of my car? Do you like the fucking music coming out of my car? Do you like the fucking music coming out of my car?
Still a lot of fucking music coming out of my car.
You can hear my fucking music. You can hear it on the streets. You can hear it while you sleep. You can hear it from my car.
I love the fucking music coming out of my car. I love the fucking music coming out of my car. I love the fucking music coming out of my car. I love the fucking music coming out of my car. I love the fucking music coming out of my car. I love the fucking music coming out of my car.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. That's what we generously call a song.
I don't know when the last chorus of that just became, but I like it.
That was for the folks at home.
You can buy both those on iTunes.
Yeah.
It's not funny, but it's true. Helps us live.
Is it? Oh, hey, guys.
That's the bit. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I didn't know if you...
We just thread that into a longer sequence, when we do a full hour, but...
Clearly, we've taken up enough.
There was umbrellas indoors.
Yeah, we've fulfilled...
That was Maverick.
Mm. We fulfilled our contractual obligations. So,
That's right. We had a deal. See,
man, don't go back on your words.
All right, you get your wives back, and
thank you for coming and doing the show. By the way, you guys,
it's such a pleasure to have you on.
Thanks for watching.
This show won't go up by the time your Largo show goes, but you are going to do your big Largo show. And it sounds like that will be kind of a regular thing. You've done a couple Largo
kind of
shows.
Yeah, we did a Largo show last month, and it was a lot of fun. And we'll be back there on the 19th, which will be in the past for people listening.
Whoa!
We will have been there last week.
In our time device.
He has a fucking TARDIS tattoo on his leg. Did you guys see it?
Yes.
I love the applause afterwards. Like, we kind of believe
Jordan,
you.
Oh, my God,
will you
it's
have
real?
To keep your leg hairs shaved around that now?
Not necessarily, but the leg is actually bigger on the inside, which is really really useful.
I like it.
When you run, do you sound like the TARDIS?
you're presuming I can run. That's great.
That tattoo
the
ruined his
leg. Sound effect in the world to
I don't know either.
Exactly. Like, you can that's do, more of an iron lung. You can do like a transformer.
Whoa,
but it's... hang on.
Squeak, squat,
wait.
Well, that's why I just...
That's why I just use my ringtone. It's my ringtone.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, Chris, awesome is calling.
Yep.
Hello, Doctor. Doctor! I knew you'd come and save me.
Whoa, someone else.
How long have you guys been in the States?
Well, since April.
Oh, you've been since April?
Yeah, start of April. Months,
start of April.
Nice.
Month and a half.
What season is that? That is like a fallish kind of spring.
Easter?
Oh, it's Los Angeles.
Pilot season. It's pilot,
pilot
season.
It's pilot, April's pilot season.
I love pilot season. I can put on a hoodie and shorts.
Yeah. A joke you all make.
Cross your fingers and hope that Game of Thrones is good.
Yeah, exactly. Get
what?
On top
They're
of
just
your
offering it to Matt Perry. Pilot season. That's how it happens. So you guys are huge internet phenoms.
Like, yeah. I mean, we've got millions of hits on YouTube, and the best thing about hits on YouTube is that for every single one we get absolutely nothing.
Dear yes.
So, yeah. It's a lot of zeros.
Yeah,
so,
thank you,
great.
YouTube.
Yes, but you have the attention of millions of people. Like, as content creators, what's it been like for you, like, coming over here and meeting, because you know, you have agents and you have, like, what you do have power because you do have things that people want to see.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing coming to a country, like, that we've never visited before, and then people are like, hey, I'm a big fan, I love all your stuff, and I'm seeing, I'm like, we haven't been here before. No, we do. It's really cool.
And as people who bridge the gap between comedy and music, do you find it falls into that weird realm of people who go, it's a joke that I've heard before, but it's a song that I love and want to hear again?
Yeah, it works out great for us. We just do the same stuff every night, and people are like, don't do any
new
material.
They want to hear the stuff that they know and love and want to sing along.
If we leave a song out of a set, they're like, why didn't you do that song? And we're like,
it's like doing another joke. But as a stand-up, of course, you got to keep it fresh, right?
Boo. Well, you know, it's funny that I just started watching an HBO special last night called Talking Funny, I think.
Yeah. Is that Ricky Gervais?
What?
Is that Ricky Gervais' show?
Yeah, it's Ricky Gervais' show, and it was Chris Rock, Louis C.K., and Seinfeld were on it. Yeah. And they were having that exact same conversation. There was a debate where Chris Rock and Louis C.K. were like, no, you have to produce new material all the time. And Jerry's like, but sometimes people want to see the older bits. You know, like,
they want to know why you can't build the whole plane out of the black box.
And so he says, like, he, like, you know, he'll recycle, like, maybe 20 to 40%. And, like, he'll you know, do 20 to 40% that's new, but people still like to see the old stuff. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And for us, I mean, album sales are really important. So we actually have to do the tracks that are on the albums. Otherwise, people at the end of the show, they'll look at the back of the album like, oh, there's nothing from tonight.
No, they just came out and played the new stuff.
Yeah. Bathroom
and
break.
And you're guaranteed to get an applause break at least every 3 minutes or so.
Yeah.
Which is not easy for
Our songs
all you need to do is take
long.
Your shirt off. Yeah.
Have you been touring the States?
We've been just finished a big East Coast tour, did a lot of colleges out there, and did Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Fighting Irish.
Yeah.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah. The rest of the world calls it Notre Dame, but
Fighting Irish. Couldn't we just call it the Irish? Come on, get out of town. What?
Well, we did North Carolina, which is the Tar Heels.
Yes.
Which I don't know what that is. Like, no one. We asked people, and they're like, yeah, it's kind of like a dirty foot.
Yeah, it has something to do with. It might be a mining thing or something.
I assumed it was incredibly racist. Yeah. Stuck around.
I think it's a Civil War thing that they didn't retreat, so their feet were stuck fast to the ground.
But that didn't make sense because if you stick your feet fast to the ground, you can't advance either.
That's correct.
Right. You're just
in Magic the Gathering
bag.
terms, you would be a wall.
Yeah.
And then the Fighting Irish came and just beat the shit out of
them. Just call themselves the Punching Bags. Get it over
the Punching Bags. The funniest mascot. That is, I think it's UC Irvine. I think they're the anteaters, right?
Wow, fearsome.
Yeah.
Something I was going to say. It means something else here too, because we would say aunt,
right?
For ant, it could be like your mother's sister.
That's true.
That's true. Mm.
That's true. Yeah.
Who is eating her?
The worst one is MIT, the engineers.
Choo choo.
Oh wait, I got some for that. Oh, my uncle. He's such an ant eater.
Ew.
We'll just edit.
Go the growl.
And then
quick cut away to your aunt going, no, he's not.
And then we just made a trailer for a romantic comedy.
Yep. Yeah, but so we just had Jennifer Aniston, Ryan Reynolds. We got a fucking movie.
It's like all we need is a record scratch sound and a dog going.
Cork
pops.
When did everyone decide that every movie trailer needs to have a little witty tagline at the end of it? Like, I remember when it would be like, movie title coming now, soon-ish, and then a bunch of
credits about people who made this movie. And then that was it. Here comes the next one. Not, oh, then one quick little tagline, punchline at the end.
I love the horror movie version of that where it's just like credits.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, some shit goes down in this.
Or the older horror movies from like the 70s, the more grindhouse kind, where it's like, the killers, you'll get killed.
Tell me. No, here they literally, yeah, that. See, that's just cheap horror tactics there when they just, naturally if you scream at someone and they're, you know, like out of nowhere, it's going to be jarring.
Yeah. I call those quiet, loud horror movies where that's like the only thing they rely on.
It is scary.
Do you go back and forth to Australia? Or?
We're kind of here till August, just traveling around doing gigs. And
we don't even go home in August. We're just going to the UK for more gigs and then back here for another.
Australia is dead to us, basically.
You hear that?
Well, Rove's not on TV anymore. So.
Yeah, what's the point of going back?
Am I right?
Yeah, we're just following him around the world.
He said he was going to go back. He was going
to
do a show.
Okay, well then. So
but they have to be here to be on it. That's the weird part of it all. What?
Come to LA to be on TV in Australia.
Yes.
Exactly. We've got a new album coming out soon called Animal Vehicle.
Awesome. How long have you guys been a group?
Between 40 and 45 years.
Okay, good.
It's hard to keep track.
Yeah.
Did you go to college? How'd you guys meet each other?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting story. Like all good stories, it begins in a bookstore. I was in a bookstore. I wanted to buy a particular book. The salesman wouldn't sell it to me, so I stole it. Ran to school, went into the attic to read it, and like
that was actually the school I went to. Because we went to school together, and that was where I was learning how to become a wizard.
That's right.
Yeah,
Lee was the potions master.
Yeah, and you were the groundskeeper.
I was. Yeah.
We got along really well.
Yeah, but you did not like Benny.
I did not like Benny. Your father was a bit of a dick. So you know.
Fair point.
Fair call. Fair reason.
It was about that time. I was also looking for a Turbo Man doll, and
that was the day. Same.
That could have gone either way. Yeah. That reference.
Yeah. And it was the Christmas that you put on the costume and then got really overweight and old and had to become Santa Claus.
And then you were like, oh, to break this curse, I have to take this ring to Mordor. Or
that
something.
Was such a pain. That took ages.
I was like, you can have my bow and Jordan's axe. And
Why didn't we just fly? We could have flown on your back. Yeah.
And then we all went to college together and made a band.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah. So all that stuff happened. And then the band.
Yeah.
And so, Largo Show, where are you guys going to be next? Like, where are you touring?
We're driving to San Diego tonight, so as soon as this wraps up, we're getting in the car and fucking off.
Yeah, so we're down to San Diego for the Sun God Festival, doing Sasquatch up in Washington.
Oh, awesome!
Yeah.
You guys are going to fucking destroy up there.
Oh, no, we'll just perform.
Yeah. No, seriously, just like, burn everything.
I think it's against the contract.
We're Axis of Awesome. They just fucking killed everyone.
Thank you, America. Then you lob a grenade. Oh, I'm going.
Love to do something.
The ladders come down. The helicopters take you back.
It's actually a dream of ours to do a gig like that because Metalocalypse are heroes of ours.
Yes.
Love to just tear it up.
Death clock on that.
Do you guys do comedy? Do you do comedy clubs at all, or do you mainly theaters?
We do comedy clubs that have a system that will allow us to plug our instruments in.
Or comedy clubs who said they have a system that allows us to plug in, and then we get there and they don't.
And then we stress and hire a bunch of equipment. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we do comedy clubs and we do theaters and. You know, private functions and weddings, bar mitzvahs.
Yes, you'll also see comic me book standing stores. On
corporate gigs. Yeah. That's where that money.
I was opening of Apple stores.
I always wonder. I mean,
well, you know, we've never done one, Jordan, but we really want to.
Yeah, we definitely do. God, we love Apple.
I'm sure the Apple store would love. Can you hear the fucking music coming out of my car?
Well, we just replace car with iPod, and they'll be going, "Oh, genius!"
Yes, and fucking with lovely.
And then you guys dancing in silhouette.
Yeah. Exactly.
There's an ad campaign. I
was wondering because I had I'm in a musical comedy duo and we stopped doing comedy clubs because we always felt like songs are sketches and if people aren't on board within the first 10 seconds then you have to finish it anyway.
That's why we give candy and money out to everyone in the crowd before we get on stage.
We didn't get any of those things.
We also try and make sure our songs are really good.
That's the problem.
Not to make any presumptions, but you know, if a song doesn't work and people don't laugh, we just stop doing it.
Yeah. The first gig I ever did was with two friends of mine in a stand-up room where we did a sketch. And when you have an audience that's used to having everything delivered to them, then you perform in a style that just puts up that fourth wall and shuts them out. They don't like it.
cares?
They also don't. They don't respond to anything that's less than like 10 jokes per minute.
Yeah, and then and same thing. Like you were saying, like we're I don't know 3 minutes into a 5 minute sketch, just going, we cannot get out of this
because comedy
club trapped in this fantasy world we've created. This is just a lab coat. I'm not a real doctor.
Why is that doctor up there?
The worst part of it was the backstage area. You would walk off and you would go into the women's restrooms. That was it. And the women's restrooms was the backstage area. So if you were planning a woman ahead in the comedy room and needed to go to the restroom, you had to go to the other ones at the back. There was a second line. So it was behind a curtain. Everyone would go, wow, the magic of theatre. And you'd go in there and just a bunch of toilets. But at least you could sit down. Comfort.
Yeah.
Am I right, guys?
Yeah. That's right.
But
and you get little trash cans between the toilets.
My exit into the sketch took me into the audience. My friend's exit took him into the restroom, so he just stayed there all night.
Oh.
I'm in the audience, just sort of shuffling at the back of the room with people kind of going, yeah.
With man, your lab coats
still
on.
Don't worry about it. No, it was all right.
Looked like you had a lot of fun.
You were good.
You looked like you had a lot of fun.
You were
up
good.
There.
Yeah. So you're gonna keep it up? You're gonna
people comedy club
fuck
audiences.
You, Hugh Jackman.
Comedy club audiences don't like to listen. Like, if people are in theater seats, they will listen. But if people are at tables and there's food and drinks being served, they will not listen to everything that's being said.
I don't get the
cabaret seating, also known as shit seating.
American comedy clubs love serving food while you're trying to tell jokes.
They'll drop a check.
Just straight, and just no, they don't duck and kind of get out of the way. They just walk straight in front and just, here's your chicken fingers.
Oh, my God. Well, here at the Improv in L.A., during the summers, they make a ton of money doing high school tours where, like, you know, like rich high school kids that get toured around the country, like, they'll come to L.A. and then they'll
one night. No, Ben, you stay standing up.
So that's it. You have to say it.
You do not sit. So I'm joking.
So says the Rove.
Yes. And so the high school tours, so you're playing to like 16-year-old kids, and then halfway through the show, they give all the kids ice cream.
Yes!
What? And instantly, what? You just feel like everyone just goes away.
That's
like,
awesome.
They're just gone, and you hear the clinking
nothing
of the...
Nothing kills comedy like brain freeze.
Yeah. Brain freeze and 14-year-olds with pagers and... Pagers? What?
Pagers.
Well, you kids use your... Get off your pager!
You stole this story from the 1980s!
Shit. Anyway, so
put your pager away. Sorry, the girl I like is texting me 143.
Right. Oh. So you kids love that robot on Riptide, right? All right. Well, I feel like this is a good point to end the show. I mean, we've had a good. Unless you guys,
no, let's think about it for a bit.
Well, no. I was going to do audience questions. If anyone has, we'll do a quick Q&A. If you have,
Rahan
went up
bang.
Immediately.
Let's
bang. Bang.
This can be for anyone on the panel. What's your name?
Jennifer.
And what's your question?
My question is, well, this has been really fun, but what have we learned?
That's the best question we've ever received.
If you don't already know the answer, the answer is nothing.
I learned that Australian animals are really slutty.
Yep.
That's what
you
I
can
got
fuck them in the face or wherever.
Near
in the
face.
In the pouch.
In the pouch.
Right in the pouch.
Yeah.
If you ever want to see a really good sex scene, watch Howling 3. Me and my girlfriend Deanna watch this. Howling 3,
oh,
the marsupials. Yeah. And creepy shit. It's like a guy fucks a half woman, half marsupial.
She's like halfway through. She's not in the full werewolf.
Yeah. You got to catch them right before they change.
It's like halfway through.
Yeah.
And so all she is just a naked hairy woman.
Yeah.
Like she's covered in hair. That's
she immediately gets
really
pregnant.
Disturbing.
She immediately
really
gets disturbing. Pregnant and like a little baby kangaroo comes out of her vagina and then goes
rolls up.
To her pouch. It goes up to the pouch.
Which is what happens
in
the wild, but you don't have to be that factually accurate.
I'll tell you, that would be a weird fetish to fuck a shapeshifter while they're changing because they're like. That animal vagina would be super tight, right? Like
totally tight.
Right? Like that,
totally
you gotta
tight.
Catch them when they're changing.
Yeah, exactly.
Normal, hot, hot. Oh,
right,
hot.
Exactly.
Creepy.
Oh my God. Oh, and then shame.
Yeah. But you don't know what kind of animal it is until it happens, because it could be a werewolf and you'll just be disappointed.
Speaking from experience there.
Man, those werewolves.
You reminded me of that scene from that movie, and like my brain had locked that away.
Yeah.
And every time my memory would go there, my brain would be like, there's nothing to see. There's nothing to see here. Go over there. Remember that,
is that,
remember
a marsupial?
That time you found like that $20 note when you were six, Go to that memory. At
no,
the
wait,
next
what
door.
Is that behind you? Is that
and then you came
guy
crashing
fucking...
in and went, out of the way, brain! And you opened that door and images of naked, hairy, fully hairy from top to toe. Yeah. Pouch.
This robe just got total recall.
Yeah. Man. Get your there's a baby Mars. Growing out of my stomach!
It's on InstaWatch, so I recommend it for a movie night.
Well, you ruined crazy. The best scene.
Oh, no.
Oh, it gets better. Oh, no, he didn't.
All right, good. Well, guys, please join me in thanking Australian Night, Axis of Awesome, and Mr. Rove McManus for being here. We'll be back with more shows. Check us out at meltcomics.com or nerdist.com. Thank you to Axis of Awesome and Rove. Thanks to Matt and Jonah. Thanks to Zach, the sound guy, Mo, for producing our show tonight. Good night, everyone!
Now leaving nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.